while. Take two.
Take
of
two.
The Professor and Pipe Bomb podcast here. And I think maybe will this be a little more optimistic than our last one where we basically just shat on Mike McCarthy for a half hour?
I hope so.
I hope so, too. Gonna go inside some Packers free agency, the moves they've made, the moves they didn't make. Really just kind of the state of the roster as it is. Is there anything as of now that you think has been just blown you away or just pissed you off?
As far as what the Packers have done? I like the Muhammad Wilkerson. I think that's a very good 1 year, $5 million prove-it deal. I don't really see a downside. If he comes out and he sucks, it's $5 million, though. And he's gone after a year, it's no big deal. If he comes in and he dominates, which obviously is what we're hoping, then hopefully maybe you'll get a hometown discount if he signs a big contract after this season. So I don't see a downside with that. Jimmy Graham, 3 years for $30 million, you know, basically.
That is steep.
Yeah, it's steep.
For a tight end.
You basically traded him for Jordy.
Yeah.
And which, you know, I have no problem with them cutting Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody, you know, Jordy, blah, blah, blah. You know, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
The wide receiver position, one of the things with having the best quarterback in the NFL is that you should not have to spend $33 million of your cap money on wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
One of the benefits of having the greatest quarterback in the league is that you should be able to roll out C wide receivers and have Aaron Rodgers turn them into B-plus wide receivers and get the job done. And you should be able to use that savings to boost your defense, to make sure you have depth along your offensive line, to plug all the other holes on your team. So I don't have a problem with Nelson, but when you dump Nelson and you sign Graham for basically the same money, it's like kissing your sister.
It's kind of a wash.
Yeah.
When it's all said and done.
It's a complete wash. Now, I do think, and I am excited about Jimmy Graham, you know, and call me optimistic, which I don't get called often. But
I think the things you get called often, we probably shouldn't say.
That is very true. I think that with Joe Philbin's offense, the tight end is going to, again, play a very large role where once Philbin left and we were stuck with the boring, predictable, garbage offense that the genius Mike McCarthy,
there it is,
you know, came up with, I think it's going to be a net positive for the Pack. So overall, between last show that we did a few weeks ago and now, I am a little more optimistic.
Wow. That's good to hear.
See?
I don't think I'm nearly as optimistic
okay.
as you are.
Shoes on the other foot. I love it.
I do. I know. Usually I'm the one that's all sunshine and smiles and stuff. I also like the Wilkerson signing. I thought he was a really underappreciated player with the Jets. I think he adds, on the opposite side of the line, a kind of nastiness to the defense that I don't think Mike Daniels can even match. Wilkerson is, he's like, if Ndamukong Suh is your A-list, dirty, nasty, scared to go up against him defensive lineman in this league,
mm-hmm.
then Muhammad Wilkerson and Mike Daniels are probably like B-list
yeah.
together. And I think on any defense, particularly on the defensive line, there's a value in that sort of attitude that doesn't show up on the stat sheet and that you can't pay. So I was really a big fan of that deal. And like you mentioned, really team-friendly deal.
Yep.
I didn't think that they really even needed an improvement on the defensive line. Dean Lowry played pretty well in that spot last year.
Yeah.
Wasn't going to blow you away, but he was never the reason you lost a football game.
Right.
Which is, when I'm thinking of the current state of the Packers, trying to think about, okay, what lost you football games last year or 2 years ago or whatever, I don't think they did anything to fill those holes. I think it's another offseason. Yeah, they made a bunch of moves, which hail Brian Gutekunst for not being Ted Thompson 2.0, Judgment Day, or whatever it is. But if it's also comparing it to the Bucks, the Eric Bledsoe, Greg Monroe trade. They made a trade where they swapped one set of deficiencies for another set of deficiencies. The roster didn't get better. And I think that's kind of what went down with the Jimmy Graham, Jordy Nelson deal, like you were saying. So I don't think you got better there. I think you got better with the Muhammad Wilkerson deal, but at a position that was honestly probably your lowest priority.
Yeah.
Of all of the position groups on this team, the defensive backs were horrible. The linebackers in the pass rush were horrible. The quarterback play, backup quarterback play, was horrible. Running backs were pretty good, actually. I forgot about the running backs. The running backs had a nice year. One man went down, another man stepped up.
Yeah, it was like a revolving door.
They were okay. They were far better, though, than I can think a few years back when we were counting our blessings, hoping that Sam Congato or Vernon Morency was going to blow this team away and carry the offense behind Favre or Rodgers, whoever was there at the time. I think that was the Brett Favre era.
Yeah.
Those two guys.
Gatto. I remember him, man.
He's a doctor now.
Yeah.
A medical doctor.
More power to him.
Yeah. Good for him.
Absolutely.
But looking at this roster, I thought they had a huge need at biggest need on the whole roster was at pass rusher. And granted, I don't think this free agent market or this draft class is going to give you what you need overnight. They didn't even sniff anybody that's going to help the pass rush. Muhammad Wilkerson is a dog, but he's not a pass rusher. He might free up Nick Perry or somebody on the next level to do something, but Nick Perry sucks.
I think Wilkerson's going to get at least 7 sacks this season.
At least seven. We should call in the morning show guys and put a bet on that.
I've lost so much money on this tournament so far.
I had Virginia going the whole way.
Yeah, you're screwed.
The whole way.
I've just been betting individual games and losing my ass on every one. See, for me, the biggest deficiency for me is the defensive backfield.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you trade Randall and you get back Deshaun freaking Kaiser, mm-hmm. like he helps your team.
Woo-hoo.
You know, he's dog crap. So, except a younger version of dog crap than Hundley.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's no net gain there. You lose the top corner that you had, whether your opinion that he was good, which is my opinion, because after he got benched against the Bears, he played pretty fantastic.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Or you don't like him, which there's a huge, many people in Packer Nation that do not like him. Now, I like the fact that Gouda Cheese offered, the Bears put the transition tag in Kyle Fuller. Gouda Cheese offered him 4 years at $56 million, and I love that move.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I was the Bears, what I don't understand is why the Bears took that offer and said, okay, you know, we'll give you the same thing, and Fuller signed it right away because they had 5 days. Now, if I was the Bears, I would have waited until the fourth day and 23 hours, 59 minutes before I said, sign here.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so they offered 4 for $56 for Kyle Fuller, but couldn't come up with 1 year, $7 million for Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Matthew's a safety. He's not a cover corner. I understand all that.
He could play nickel, though.
Absolutely, he could play nickel.
Which is just as valuable as your starting corner on the outside in today's NFL.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Or you just have him play deep and just have him as, like, the headhunter.
Yeah.
That just roving the field, just waiting to lay the wood down on you.
Oh, yeah.
1 year, $7 million? You couldn't come up with that for him? That bugs me.
And Mike Pettine's defense loves safeties.
Oh, yeah.
They love safeties in that defense. So the more you have and the more talented ones you have, the better that whole defense is going to click. And right now you're kind of hedging your bets on Clinton Dix and Josh Jones.
Yeah. And
I could be more confident, to say the least.
You know, Dix was just god-awful last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hopefully he bounces back and the light bulb goes back on. Jones, I have faith in. I think he's going to get it together and be good. My problem is the cornerback position.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got Kevin King, who, you know, he was hurt last season, but was okay, not anything really, really good. Yeah. Are you putting your eggs in the Lindsey Pipkins basket?
Or the Donatello Brown basket?
You know, and
or
I'm
the Herb Waters basket?
I'm sure those are all three very fantastic, nice guys.
Yeah,
and
quality human beings.
If you want to come, you know, have a beer, hit me up on Twitter and let's go out and party, guys. But, you know, do I have a whole lot of confidence entering the season with those three as my number two, three, and four? Or even Kevin King as my number one? Hell no,
no,
I don't.
Not a chance. And credit where credit's due. Kevin King came in and played legit, not great, but legit starting caliber corner play his rookie year, coming into what may have been the most complex defense that Dom Capers has run in his time in Green Bay, and what last season may have been the most complex defense relative to the lack of success that it had.
Yeah.
Out of anybody.
Yeah.
But for me, you were saying how with the wide receivers as a position group, you have Aaron Rodgers, they look better, right?
Yeah.
Whoever
yeah.
the receivers and tight ends are. I think it works the same way on the defense with the pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
Because Casey Hayward has gone on to great things with the Chargers. He's,
yep.
What is his second or third straight Pro Bowl this past season since he left the Packers?
Yep.
And nobody was clamoring when he left because he was banged up here and there. He played good, but he was nothing special.
Right.
He, I mean, when he was on this team, Devon House was the better corner when they were on this roster together. Straight up, Devon House was the better player at the position when they were on the field together in Green Bay. But he went to San Diego. He gets to defend receivers with Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram terrorizing offenses in front of him. And boom, all of a sudden, he's this superstar. Oh, how could we let this guy go? No, he had a great pass rush in front of him. The same thing with Micah Hyde in Buffalo. When you have a quality pass rush in front of those guys, they kick it into another gear simply because, I don't know, you could be the second coming of Deion Sanders and Night Train Lane all rolled into one. But if you have to defend a receiver in today's NFL where you can't touch anybody or do anything to him for 8-9 seconds, you're burned.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just burned. And so it just sucks because the whole Packers defense needs an overhaul, and the one position that they could get the biggest bang for their buck out of, pass rushing, helps the whole defense, and there's nobody for them to go get.
I know. I know. They sat on their hands and waited too long. Now, you know, obviously the Nelson cut, cutting him basically just freed up money for Graham. Why not cut Clay? And then you would have had money to go after a pass rusher, and you could have used some of that money because he's stealing.
$15 million, is it?
Stealing money.
Or $14.5 million.
Yeah, $14.5 million. Yeah, that .5, you know. Ooh, that's a
$500,000. Can't do anything with that anyway.
$14.5 million, and he
That'll
sucks.
Barely fill your tank today.
And, you know, I know that when with the whole Tyrann Mathieu, oh, well, he gets banged up a lot. So does Clay Matthews.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking at, you go into the season hoping you're going to get 10 games out of Clay. And so I would have cut him and used that money early on a corner and on a pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need more money, then there's Bulaga. You need more money, then there's Cobb. You could have dumped all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we could have sat there and had some real veteran playmakers to start. And then you could have drafted for depth and have these veterans teach these guys. You know, it's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
But they make it so freaking complex.
Yep.
You know, like you talked about with Don Capers' offense and how, you know, quote unquote complex it was. Complex or simple, it sucked.
Yeah, it didn't work.
It did not work.
Whether it was because it was a bad scheme to begin with or because it was so complex that the guys can't learn it fast enough to actually play it, either way, it doesn't work.
Yeah. You know, and he was here 5 years too long. It should have been, you know, if Mike McCarthy was any kind of a leader, he would have walked in there. And if he was so hell-bent on keeping Capers that long, give me your playbook. And he should have grabbed 3/4 of the pages, ripped them out, and threw them into garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And said, that's your playbook now. Deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, I don't get it. Obviously, I got a lot of faith in Pettine. I think he's going to bring the nasty. I think our defense is going to make huge strides this year. But they need players to do it, and we still don't have them.
I don't think you have right now the only special guys on the defense, guys that you can for sure look at and say, he's a legit 16 games, start to finish, four quarters, legit NFL player on this defense. One of them, I think, is Blake Martinez.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, I mean, he's an inside linebacker in a 3-4 scheme. He's a thumper. He led the NFL in tackles. That's all he has to do.
Hello.
And then Mike Daniels is legit.
He's legit, but he takes
games
off too, though.
He's not special.
No, he's not.
He's not bound for Canton by any means.
No.
I don't think.
No.
But he's a really good player.
Yeah,
really good NFL player.
He's
Kenny
good.
Clark could get there, but he's still a little green in the gills.
Yeah.
That's all I can think of.
I know.
Nick Perry can't play
no.
in a 3-4 scheme.
No.
That's another reason why Dom Capers' defense never worked, whether it was his fault or Ted Thompson's fault. They kept getting guys for positions that they don't play and trying to make lemonade out of apples. It just didn't make any sense.
I know.
Demaryius Randall was a safety. His whole life he was a safety. Well, he's going to play corner for us. And guess what? He struggled. As soon as you put him in positions that he was playing something that more closely resembled the safety position, a la the nickel corner, all of a sudden he can play better. Now he's gone to Cleveland. They're going to play him at safety immediately. They didn't have to think twice about it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's going to play safety for us. You know why? Because he's a safety.
Yeah, hello.
Nick Perry was a 4-3 defensive end. He's not a stand-up 3-4 outside linebacker. Clay Matthews is a stand-up 3-4 outside linebacker. He's fast. He's slender. Von Miller, a stand-up outside linebacker. You can't have as much beef as Nick Perry's walking around with and come off the edge without having your hand in the ground.
Yep.
It goes against what his whole system is. Same thing with Mike Neal and Dayton Jones. Mike Neal is probably a 4-3 defensive tackle, and you had him playing outside linebacker in a 3-4 scheme. It made no sense, and I don't know where the blame falls, but both guys are gone now.
Mm-hmm.
So I have 100% faith that something's going to get figured out.
I hope so, but I will tell you this, man. If on draft night, Gouda Cheese drafts the nation's number one lacrosse player and tells us that he's going to be a fantastic linebacker, there's going to be riots.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's the same old Ted Thompson MO, the same old BS
well,
that they've
so much
been
potential
feeding us.
Here.
Yeah, oh, he's extremely athletic, you know. The
they were
same
already
old
sharpening
crap.
Their pitchforks when they cut Jordy Nelson. If they do something like that, game on.
I hope so, you know, because that kind of crap cannot happen. You need a linebacker, go draft a linebacker. You want a corner, get a freaking corner. Don't try to convert the next basketball guy. I don't care if we get the next, Tony Gonzalez, the next Jimmy Graham.
Antonio Gates,
yeah,
whoever.
I don't care about that. Get me, I would rather have 10 B-plus players on defense than 2 A-plus players and 8 C players.
Mm-hmm.
So draft for the position of need. I think we're moving in the right direction. But like you know, there's teams, and then you got the Bears that picked up Sammy Watkins and a couple other receivers. There's
Allen Robinson. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, there's teams that are just going to throw the ball all over the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, yeah, and it's not going to be close.
No.
And I think they were talking about it. It was yesterday or the day before on the big show. They ran the topic, is Minnesota the king of the North now?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's not even a conversation.
If, no.
If you honestly think, even with Aaron Rodgers, that this Packers team is the best team in the division, you've been drinking the Kool-Aid for too long, because Kirk Cousins on a horrible Washington team that I couldn't name you, aside from Terrell Pryor and Jordan Reed, I couldn't tell you a single weapon that's been part of that offense for 16 games or even multiple seasons, because it's a revolving door at running back. Jordan Reed's always hurt. There's nobody opposite Terrell Pryor. Guys just always coming and going. The offensive line is whatever.
Yeah.
It's not a great offensive line. It's not bad.
Right.
They have a couple of really good guys and a bunch of guys like Justin McCray, who is re-signed, luckily, because you can't count on Brian Bulaga. But there was nothing special on that Washington team on either side of the ball except Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Getting to the Vikings,
yeah,
this is a clear cut. They are going balls to the wall for their title. I give them 2 years.
Yeah.
Because after 2 years, they're going to be cutting and losing guys left mm-hmm. and right because they're not going to be able to keep that roster together.
Just like what's going on with Seattle right now.
Yep. They're going to be in cap hell, and it's going to be a freaking fire sale.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got one, possibly two seasons. So you better hope that Cousins picks up that offense. You better hope that Delvin Cook comes back and can stay healthy, because your window is not rapidly closing. It's closing.
You started the clock.
Oh, yeah.
The clock wasn't started. You just started the clock.
Yep.
Signing Kirk Cousins in Minnesota.
When you could have had Case Keenum for a hell of a lot cheaper, and they're the same guy.
Well, I don't know if they're the same guy, because Kirk Cousins has been doing it. It's about wins and losses, but it's a team sport. Drew Brees was on losing Saints teams forever. No one thought Drew Brees couldn't play anymore. Kirk Cousins has been throwing up 4,300 yards, 27 touchdowns a year. That's way better than you got from Case Keenum.
How many playoff wins does Kirk Cousins have?
Zero. Case Keenum has one because the Saints can't tackle. Good for him.
Hey?
It's a team sport. It's the ultimate team sport. I don't put any stock into team accomplishments when we're evaluating whether or not one player is more talented than the other.
I hear you. I would have taken the savings and rolled the dice with Keenum than signing huge money on Kirk Cousins.
I maybe would have too. I think, given the current state of the franchise, it was a go-for-the-jugular move. They saw how bad the Packers are when Aaron Rodgers is out of the equation. They took Aaron Rodgers out of the equation. Anthony Barr took Aaron Rodgers out of the equation. And I think they saw it's basically now or never, because they have all these cheap rookie contracts, and they know the Packers are, as long as Aaron Rodgers is playing, the Packers are going to be in salary cap hell. More or less, because you're spending so much money keeping your superstar. It's so hard to build a complete roster. And they have a chance right now to do something that the Packers haven't done since they won the Super Bowl. A complete roster with legitimate talent at every position group.
Yep.
They don't have a weakness right now in Minnesota.
Not really.
Their biggest weakness right now is time.
Yeah.
If guys get hurt and don't bounce back soon enough, or if guys get too good too fast and they can't afford to pay them, that's their only weakness right now.
You know, the NFC North got a whole lot better through free agency, and the Packers kind of just ran in place.
They're kind of there.
You know.
The Lions got worse.
Yeah.
But they're the Lions.
Yeah, they're the Lions.
I don't care.
You know. The Bears got better. The Vikings got better. The Packers are about the same, maybe just a little wee bit better, but not really. I think they're the same. And the Lions got worse. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, all the hope of Packer Nation is in Mike Pettine's hands.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you that Mike McCarthy better be praying that Pettine can get this done, because if not, the heat is not going to fall on the first year D coordinator.
Oh,
the heat's falling straight on mediocre Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how that turns out.
And they have their work cut out for them, not even just in the division, around the conference. The 49ers got a lot better.
Yes.
And they were already pretty good once they got Jimmy G.
Yeah, but that whole Jimmy G thing, man, that ain't going to last.
There's a little bit of magic, but 5-0 with a team that didn't win a game all year.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive turnaround.
It's very
to make
impressive.
Just like that for a guy that learned the offense in a couple of weeks during the regular season. The Rams got a lot better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I just saw, I think it was Adam Schefter tweeted it. The Rams are right now paying Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters, Sam Shields, and what's his name? LaMarcus Joyner, I think, the safety.
Yeah.
Combined, less than what Trumaine Johnson's going to make this year with the Jets.
Yeah, I know. I know.
That is how you do the offseason right there.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
So, yeah, the Packers made a trade, but there was clearly way, way more value on the market than they got.
Oh, of course.
For Demaryius Randle.
Of course.
You could have gone out you have like 5 fourth-round picks, or between the fourth and the fifth round, you got like 5 picks, and you could have got Aqib Talib for a fifth-round pick this year.
I know.
And so now, okay, cool. Maybe your fifth-round pick, sometimes it's Blake Martinez. Usually, it's Richard Rodgers.
Yeah.
Who, I like Richard Rodgers, by the way. I hope they re-sign him.
Dick Rod.
Richard Rodgers is nothing flashy, but he's also never, ever been the reason you lost a football game.
Right. He's never been a reason you lost, but he's very rarely a reason that puts you in position to win.
You mean like when he won it in Detroit?
Yeah, come on.
The dude doesn't drop anything.
He's got great hands.
He's nothing special. But if you look at the roster, you could have rolled out Lance Kendricks, Richard Rodgers again, instead of making the deal for Jimmy Graham and gone and spent that money on a great pass rusher, a great cornerback, and your roster would have gotten better instead of staying the same.
Lance Kendricks is awful.
I'd be fine rolling those two guys out again when you have Aaron Rodgers back under center if it means spending that money on a position other than the tight end.
See, my problem with Richard Rodgers is that when I look in the mirror in the morning, the first thing that comes to my mind isn't sheer speed.
No.
But I know that I could beat Richard Rodgers in a race. All right? And that scares me.
Yeah.
Because I'm not fast.
No, you're not.
But I could beat him in a race. He's got better hands than me. But I could run faster than that poor bastard.
And he has been put in so many awful positions by this coaching staff his rookie year. We needed to stretch the field, so you're going to need to slim down and get faster. So he got faster. And then they called an audible in the system midway through the year. Oh, we really just need the tight ends to block. This isn't working. You're too small to block. We can't play you. So he bulks up in the offseason. And then midway through the next season, we need you to be able to stretch the field. What are you trying to block for? We don't need a blocking tight end. We need someone that can stretch the field. And he keeps putting his body through limbo, trying to accommodate weight-wise what he needs to be playing at, and the coaching staff keeps changing it on him every year.
Yeah.
But the dude catches everything. He runs good routes. He's a good blocker. He's seemingly a great guy in the locker room, not like Martellus Bennett. And he's been your best tight end since he's been on the roster.
He is a perfect third down player.
Yes.
He can block if it's a run on third and short. If it's third and three, he'll get you 4. If it's third and 6, he'll get you 7. If it's third and 12, don't go anywhere near him because he can't run more than 10 yards down the field at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's completely out of the play.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a perfect third and short, third and mid player. I don't hate Dick Rod. I root for him. I like him. You know, he catches everything, like we've said.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've got a little soft spot in my heart for him. And because I can beat him.
Not a hard spot?
Well.
Dick Rod we're talking about. I think that's ultimately what it boils down to, though, is you're not going to be able to have a Pro Bowl caliber player at every position on the roster. And I think you can do better as a team with a guy like Richard Rodgers at tight end and a Pro Bowl player on the defensive side of the ball than you can with a Pro Bowl tight end and Nick Perry and Vince Beagle
right.
getting after it. That's all it boils down to. Jimmy Graham is a far superior player. It's not close. And I don't want it to come off like that. Jimmy Graham is a way, way better player at the position than Richard Rodgers. But I just think that money could have been spent a lot more efficiently in a way that helps your team get better.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Professor.
Yes.
Packers Nation cracks me up because every single free agent that's out there, the Packers need to go get this guy. Why? Need to go get that guy. Dickie Sherman gets cut from Seattle. Okay? And why is everybody named Dick? Dick Sherman, okay? Cut from Seattle. Everybody, I want Dick on my team. I would love to have Sherman on my team. Hell no.
Mm-hmm.
I like his attitude. If you could, you know, go in the Wayback Machine, give me Dick from 3 years ago, mm-hmm. I'd take that Sherman, but I don't want the Sherman from now.
Yeah.
When Malcolm Butler and the contract that he got. Oh, yeah, Packers need to pick up Malcolm Butler. For that money, are you out of your mind?
Absolutely out of your mind. That's the thing. Free agency inherently It exists so that players can get paid. It doesn't exist to help the teams. The teams are way better off. You saw in the 60s, before free agency was ever a thing, the Packers just ran roughshod through this league.
Yep.
It doesn't help the teams at all. It's all about the players making way more money than they deserve
yep.
on the open market. And I didn't want Malcolm Butler to have anything to do with this team. And so the only way free agency works out for you as a team is if you're re-signing your own guys, hoping to get a hometown discount, or if you're the New England Patriots and you can offer the all-but-guaranteed shot at the Super Bowl discount. Guys will sign for nothing, especially good veteran players a la Darrell Revis a couple of years ago. We'll sign for peanuts compared to what they're worth
right.
if it means a shot at the ring. And you don't have that right now in Green Bay because you have a team in your division that's better than you. They're better than you. The Vikings yeah. are better than
yes,
you.
Yes, they are.
So you can't offer that. And so unless you're going to be able to find that perfect niche guy who's not going to command a lot of money on the open market for whatever reason, he's in that in-between of kind of whatever fill out the depth chart guys and legit starting talent, just an in-betweener, like Breshad Breeland, who's now back on the market after failing his physical. A guy who's by no means a star, like Richard Sherman or Tyrann Mathieu, or I guess you can make the argument for Malcolm Butler, but you can start him.
Yeah. Well, especially on this team.
Yeah, especially on this team. So there are still so many holes left.
I know.
On this roster.
I know. It's very frustrating because, you know, it seems like they took a couple little baby steps forward.
Mm-hmm.
You also take some baby steps back. So I don't think they've gotten noticeably better.
Yeah.
I think they're treading water.
I think so, too. And part of me also thinks that this may have been a get the Ted Thompson taste out of everyone's mouth kind of week. For Brian Gutekunst, where he kind of had to do, because if he didn't do anything, they'd be coming for his job before they even started it, which is absurd, but that's just the state of Packer Nation.
Right.
So I just don't, like you said, they're treading water. They made moves. I don't think they got tremendously better. I like the moves that they made. I just don't think they made you a better football team. I don't think they addressed the weaknesses of this football team at all.
And I think that the lack, especially in the defensive secondary, like
brutal.
You said with the pass rush, you cannot have a draft where you miss on the majority of your players.
Mm-hmm.
You can't draft
you
10
hit.
Guys and have 1.5 work out.
Yeah.
You need 4 to 5 guys to become legit, above average, kick-ass NFL players, or you are going to be in the exact same position that we've been in the last 4 years, 5 years now, where we continue to tread water.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you one more thing, is that Aaron Rodgers, and with all the stupid money that these mediocre-ass quarterbacks have gotten and signed for in the free agency period here,
mm-hmm.
and I understand that Aaron Rodgers is probably worth $1 billion a year to
yep.
any team that he is on. If he signs a contract and wants to be the highest paid player in the league, which he deserves, then he better shut his face about ever complaining about not having help to go and win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If he was the man, and you know, if he wants to be the man, you need to take less to help your team and the players around you, or you better shut up
yeah.
while you're cashing those fat checks.
And, you know, the other number 12 in Foxborough has been doing that his whole career.
Yes, sir.
And it kind of works.
He's got a handful of rings to show you that it works.
And so I get it. It's a business. You want to make as much money while you can, especially with a guy like Rodgers who gets seemingly banged up often enough. But, you know, when you've already got hundreds of millions, maybe you just want to add some jewelry to your wealth, you know?
But he could go to the jewelry center and he doesn't need the $100 million contract.
My good friend's over at the jewelry center. But you were talking about the Packers' need to hit. So going back to the 2015 draft, which may have been the worst draft the Packers have ever had.
In the history of the world?
Demarius Randle, gone. Quentin Rollins, we'll see if he can turn it back on to what he had his rookie year. Ty Montgomery's an okay player. Jake Ryan's an okay player. Brett Hundley gave you nothing that you needed from him, and you traded up for him.
Nope.
Aaron Ripkowski, who I like. Christian Ringo and Kennard Backman.
Yeah.
Did you really hit on any of those guys? You got Ty Montgomery in the third round. He's about a third-round player.
Nah, I'd say he's about a fifth-round player.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. You didn't hit on anybody in that draft.
No.
You could have not made any of those picks, and you'd probably be just as fine as you are right now.
Yeah, you'd be in same boat or better.
That's brutal.
None of those guys are difference makers.
Yeah. And as long as we're on the draft, a closing note for today, the mantra of the Ted Thompson draft era was to go get the best player available. However, the Packers also have huge needs at specific positions in a way that they really haven't had in years past. They were spoiled where they could draft the best available player because they always had someone starting caliber ready to go if that guy wasn't there. The thing that sucks is looking at this draft class, particularly the first round, trying to get impact players. You desperately need a pass rusher. You desperately need a corner. And at 14, the odds of either one being a day one game changer type player being there still is pretty slim.
See, that's where I disagree. Now, this draft is set up so good for the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
They pick at 14, four quarterbacks, and at least Saquon Barkley are all going to go before the Packers pick.
Mm-hmm.
So there's five guys right there.
You're going to get a top 10 talent.
So now you got nine players. You know, maybe you're drafted. If that's all that happens, there's going to be an offensive lineman or two. You know, the kid out of
probably
Notre Dame.
Quentin Nelson will probably go.
Oh, yeah. So you're probably looking at eight offensive guys that are going to go before you pick.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the chance to get no worse than the sixth.
Calvin Ridley might go before then, too.
Exactly. That's why I said no worse than the sixth best defensive player on that board. So this draft should, and then with the trade where you're picking first in the fourth round and the fifth round, first round picks in each of those rounds with Cleveland, mm-hmm. that trade there, this draft is set up perfect mm-hmm. for Green Bay.
Yeah.
And I hope Gouda Cheese changes this shit that we have been picking for the last 5 years and can get it together and get some difference makers.
Yeah. I think there's one guy at each position that I think could reasonably be there at 14. One is Marcus Davenport, the pass rusher, and one is, I doubt he'll be there, but the corner from Ohio State,
yeah.
Denzel Ward.
Yeah.
If neither of those guys are there, cut bait. Trade out. Collect picks. Trade for a first-round pick next year. You know there'll be a quarterback-hungry team. Baker Mayfield still sitting there at 14 after Allen and Rosen and Darnold and whoever the hell else have gone.
Yeah.
There'll be some quarterback-needy team that, hey, we'll give you our first-round pick next year if you let us, you know, move up here.
Well,
that team's going to be there.
Can I tell you the news this morning with the Jets moving up to number three? What a stupid franchise.
I know.
You move up three spots, okay? And it costs you your number six pick and three second-round picks to move up three spots. Well, guess what? You still don't control your own destiny, you idiots. You know, because you still got Cleveland and you got mm-hmm. the Giants that could take your guy.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
That's a package similar to, for example, the Rams dealing out with the Redskins when RG3 was picked,
yep.
or the Titans, when the Titans traded with the Browns to move up to get Mariota. I mean, or the Eagles for Wentz.
Or the Bears moving up one spot.
For Trubisky. What a clown.
For Mitch.
Hey, I'll tell you this much. For as long as Mitchell Trubisky is the quarterback in Chicago, the Packers will not finish last in this division.
Oh,
I'd be willing to bet on that.
Yeah, we'll see, man. They got a lot of talent around him now.
They won't always finish first, but they won't finish last.
Yeah, the Bears are going to go as far as Trubisky takes them. That's it.
So we'll just have to see, I guess, what shakes out at the draft. Earlier this morning, too, I believe it was this morning, Orlando Scandrick, the Cowboys veteran corner, released.
Yeah.
So that could be a guy that you might get some circulating around, and that's the exact kind of guy I was thinking about before.
That's
a guy who's not a superstar, but who's been getting his work done, grinding it out for seasons under different coordinators and just still keeps playing. He's not a superstar, but he is a starting NFL corner.
Yep.
Haven't had one of those in a long time.
Yeah. Sign him for a 1 or 2 year deal.
If you can get Mo Wilkerson for $5 million, you should be able to get Orlando Scandrick for $5 to $7 million.
Absolutely.
Because
I'm with you. I take that.
Wilkerson's a way better player at his position than Scandrick is at his.
Yep.
So if that's how it works out, how it should work out, they should be all set. So I guess final prediction then. Are they going to make any more free agent signings? And if so, who's it going to be?
I say yes, and I think it's Scandrick.
You think it's Scandrick?
Yeah, I think that's it. There's no choice for Green Bay except to pick up a corner in free agency, a veteran corner. I think it's going to be Scandrick.
Okay. I think they stand pat until training camp. I don't think they have the right combination of talent on the open market and money available to pull the trigger now before the draft. That's just me.
Yeah. Well,
but then as far as the draft goes, Marcus Davenport, he's there. You take him, right?
I'd take him. I'd rather have Ward, but I'd take
Oh, yeah,
Davenport.
I'd much rather have Denzel Ward.
Yeah.
I just think, even though I think the pass rush helps the defensive backs, you're so thin at defensive back, and Denzel Ward is a plug-and-play day one starting NFL corner that you have to get that done. If you have the chance to move up to 8, 9, whatever, get the deal done, give him pick 14, give him your second-round pick, go get Denzel Ward.
Absolutely.
Because he's a day one difference maker, and you get difference makers, but you don't get day one difference makers a lot picking 14th.
Like you said, they're so thin that they would be, if they don't pick up a D-back in free agency still, and even if we draft 2 or 3, if one of those guys gets hurt, the Packers they're going to be calling Sparky to play corner. I don't think Sparky can run with some of those guys.
No, he trained for a marathon.
Well, I saw the video of him beating Rami in a race.
Oh,
but,
that's good stuff.
But I don't think Sparky can run with some of these guys.
We should have a 105.7 The Fan decathlon just to really put – because Chuck Freeman thinks he's the most athletic guy on the face of the earth.
Oh, Chucky could throw down.
Can he?
I don't know. I'll film it. Because, I can run the 40-yard dash, but I got to stop after 20 and smoke and then finish up.
And that's okay, because it would be unfair. You would just be blowing everyone out of the water. It's better if we use your skills as a cameraman to, just keep a healthy level of competition. It'd be like NFL guys playing against the Pee Wee squad. It wouldn't be fair. So I appreciate you taking that one for the team, Jeff.
I'll drink to that, my friend.
Excellent. Anthony Mandela here, Jeff Orlowski. Professor and Pipe Bomb podcast, take 2. Do this again sometime?
The deuce. Gotta hook it up to the tray soon. Yeah, a couple weeks, man. We'll do it again.
NFL draft recap maybe coming at him?
Oh, we got to do it before the draft.
Preview? Should we do a full first round mock draft podcast?
I'm not smart enough to do 32.
Once again, Professor and Pipe Bomb, where can they follow you on Twitter?
Jeff_Orlowski.
And I'm at Anthony Mandela. That about does it for us, doesn't it?
I think so, man. Let's go tip one.
Cool. Take it easy.